All right. Track with me. Father Connect the Dots is going to go at it again here. But and we talked about this, about how we entered into this winter, okay, with an event that happened. And it actually marked the 400th anniversary of the first settlers, the pilgrims, who landed in America at Plymouth. On the very day of that anniversary, okay, on the winter solstice, the first day of winter, on the darkest day of the year, okay, it's the shortest amount of sunlight on that day, came what people called the Christmas star. This alignment, this celestial event where Saturn and Jupiter came together, a bright star in the sky. You wonder what God is up to. And again, this came in this dark year that we just went through and are hopefully coming out of very fast. At least that's where I'm at. I don't know where you are. And we talked about that last weekend too. I told people if I wanted to give a title of my sermon last weekend, the title would be, I'm Done, right? And so, but, all right, so the first day of winter. You know when the last day of winter is? The Feast of St. Joseph. So the next day, what marks the first day of spring. And just so you know, that we're planning to have a big event where we're going to go downtown like we did this past summer, remember? And we're going to process our Lord in the Holy Eucharist. And the title of this is called Protect Our Families. So we're doing it on the Feast of St. Joseph. Now, here's the really cool thing about it, if that wasn't cool enough, is that the Solemnity of St. Joseph lands on a Friday during Lent. Y'all get to eat meat on a Friday during Lent because that's what our church teaches. Now, you got to watch your pride, actually, if you go, well, you know, you bunch of sinners, you know, you're going to eat meat on Friday. No, it's what the church teaches. We celebrate that. And it's kind of, I think it's fun, actually, to realize that we can have meat on a Friday during Lent. So we're going to tailgate after we do the Eucharistic procession in the parking lot of Holy Redeemer downtown. So all this starts, we're going to start gathering at 4:30 on Friday. We'll process at 5. We'll go down, we're going to do the Chapel of St. Joseph and the Litany of St. Joseph and this very special prayer from Pope Leo XIII to St. Joseph on next Friday. So please, please, please come. All you guys have to come. We need servers. Many services want to come. Please plan to be there. This is going to be a wonderful day. But see what we're doing here? We came in and we started with this star. And again, I won't know until I get to heaven exactly what God is up to. But these are meant to be for us signal graces in a way, but a way for us to for God to communicate to us what he's doing. So the darkest day of the winter, he gives us this celestial event of a star called the Christmas star. Everybody called the Christmas star because it was close to Christmas. And we went into this winter. A lot of the politicians are saying, oh, you know, cold, dark winter that we passed through and all this stuff. And we did, and it was tough. And now here we are, we're at Laetare Sunday. And I'm wearing rose. You're not supposed to call it pink, okay? It's rose. But the reason for this this color is ties into all this, because this color is meant to show that there's always light, I got it right here, hold on. There's always light, give me a second. I'm gonna have my Joe Biden moment. Always darkest before the dawn. I had it backwards. Anyways, that's what I think God has been communicating to us. And again, we won't know until we get to heaven, but it just seems it's always darkest, the darkest day of the year before the dawn. Christmas star to remind us light will come back. From that day forward, the winter solstice, the days got longer. And then we're heading into spring. And the last day of this cold, dark winter is the Feast of St. Joseph in the year of St. Joseph. I mean, come on, right? I mean, this is just, it's unbelievable. We, as I've been saying, have to be careful not to lose hope. You know, so this vestment is that sign of sunrise, you know, the pink sky, you know, that we see at the edge. A lot of people are showing some pretty impressive sunrise pictures these days, and maybe God's doing something there too. It's just beautiful. But that ray of hope, and we always say too that when Jesus comes again, he'll come from the east. Actually, the way we offer the Mass is called ad orientem, toward the east. That's how we always call it liturgical east, because it's not always exactly east. But point is that we're waiting for that light to come in to break the darkness. And it's coming, and I do believe it is. I was looking at something I pointed to, and actually my good friend Patrick Delaney, who writes for LifeSite News, actually wrote about this. But we did a podcast the week after the election this year with Father Ripperger. I think it's up to 170,000 views right now. But it was really fascinating. But here's the morsel I want to pull from that, because I think it speaks to what we're talking about today, the time that we're living in and where we're going. So Father Ripperger starts out, I actually pulled this from Patrick's article that he wrote. Father Ripperger said, "I think what we're seeing now is that there's some stark comparisons in the behavior of some of these people and in what I've seen from demons in exorcism sessions." He goes on to say, providing hope for the positive resolution, he says, "For example, right now things are kind of leading up to a crescendo, and that's what you tend to see right before the person is liberated. So there's this buildup of a diabolical manifestation which becomes much more drastic, much more open, much more out there. Sometimes even more preternatural, right towards the end, and then the person is actually liberated." He adds this: "Another thing which is very common for demons is claiming that they are victorious or that they've already won when they haven't yet. It hasn't been proven to be the case, so it is very similar to a lot of things that we are actually seeing." I just find that very interesting. And again, my hopeful heart is looking forward to this. God is amazing. We can't give up on God. He won't give up on us. It's always darkest before the dawn. I mean, it's hard to even watch the news anymore. It's so dark. And evil, Satan, feels he's in charge. He's claimed victory, it seems. But I believe what we're watching is what Father Ripperger just described. They're so arrogant and so in our face. I mean, come on, Mr. Potato Head, are you kidding me? It's nauseating. But I think it's leading to a crash, a demonic toppling. And I think we're about to see liberation. And I believe that with all my heart. In the midst of this, we're called to be Christ's light. Okay? We can't be crabby complainers. Yes, there's a time for us to rise up, speak the truth with love, and to call out these demonic infiltrators. But we need to be that bright light, because see, here's what's gonna happen. And I believe it's happening right now, is evil is so emboldened and so arrogant that a lot of people who thought they could get in league with this are getting shocked right now. They're going, "What have we done? What have we done? And so now they're looking around for the remedy, for the solution to what's going on in the world. My brothers and sisters, we have to be that for them. We have to be the place that they want to go to. We can't be crabby, complaining. We can't be elitist either. We have to be like this. Here's the reality, and I'm going to conclude with this, that the demonic is trying to influence our loved ones, tell them that their dogma is the right dogma. Well, we know what God's truth really means, and we know what it has done for each one of us, and we know what it can do to change the world. I wanted to end by sharing probably my favorite quotation from Bishop Fulton Sheen. This is the one where he talks about three levels. And again, I've been saying this, this isn't about left and right. This is about higher or lower. Do we want to live a higher life? And if we want to live that life, are we doing it well? Are we being the best ambassadors of that higher life? Representatives, okay? So that when these people are so horrified by this evil that they may have been complicit in ushering in, when they start looking around for the solution to that, they see you, they see me. And so this is what he wrote. He said, Christ's reason for taking upon himself a human nature was to pay for sin by death on the cross and to bring us to a higher life. I just want to interject there because it just popped into my mind. I'm in my 33rd year of priesthood. It's my death year. But it's my resurrection year too. But I find that kind of interesting because that's kind of what we've been going through here. All right? I get my 33rd anniversary. But that's, that. You know, again, you can't make this stuff up. We're heading into springtime, heading out of winter with St. Joseph by our side, calling us to live the higher life. This higher life, which is divine, distinct from the human, is called grace because it is gratis or a free gift of God. Man may live at three different levels: the sensate, the intellectual, and the divine. These may be likened to a three-story house. So the sensate level on the first floor represents those who deny any other reality except the pleasures that come from the flesh. Their house is rather poorly furnished and is capable of giving intermittent thrills which quickly dry up. The occupant of this first floor is not interested in being told of higher levels of existence. In fact, he may even deny their existence. So on the second floor, there is the intellectual level of existence, that of the scientist, the historian, the journalist, the humanist, the man who has brought to a peak all the powers of human reason and human will. This is a much more comfortable kind of existence and far more satisfying to the human spirit. Those on the second floor may think their floor is a closed universe, regarding as superstitious those who desire a higher form of life. But there is actually a third floor, which is the floor of grace, by which the human heart is illumined by truths which reason cannot know, by which the will is strengthened by a power quite beyond all psychological aids, and the heart is entranced with the love which never fails, which gives peace that cannot be found on the lower levels. The world, therefore, is divided into the once born and the twice born, between the sons of the old Adam and the sons of the new. Christ, between the unregenerate to and the regenerate. There is a real inequality in the world. There are superior and inferior peoples. But the basis of this distinction is not color, race, nationality, or wealth. The superior people of the earth are the supermen, the godmen. The inferior people are those who have been called to that superior state, but as yet have not embraced it. I love that. And again, don't get proud or haughty. Now, don't get arrogant like evil is right now. Because a superior understanding is that we're called to be totally selfless. We're called to put everyone else before ourselves, to look out for our neighbor, to be on the lookout for need. You need lifting up, let me help you. That's the superior life. You're called to be supermen, superwomen. You're called to be godmen, godwomen. Here we are, my brothers and sisters. Let's go out of this dark winter in a blaze of glory. In a blaze of glory. One way we could do that is joining together for this procession downtown. But I'm talking about all of our lives. This is the midpoint of Lent. This is this time where we start, you know, half-hearted with our you know, devotions and what we've been doing for Lent. How about taking this midpoint as a time for us to say, I'm getting ready. We're heading out. This dark winter is ending. Spring is coming. Yes, I'm in my 33rd year, and I look forward to rising with Christ. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.